appreciate our guys leading the singing this morning. Did an excellent job, as always. Really appreciate that. And usually when these guys are leading singing, then Dominique gets up and preaches. And I'd much rather hear Dominique preach this morning. So Dominique.
Amen.
All right. Such is life, I guess. Imagine with me, if you will, imagine with me what it would be like to have Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, right here beside you. Imagine what that would be like to have God himself in the flesh right beside you, living right beside you. Living like the apostles lived. Having that kind of relationship where they're with God himself day in and day out. Living right by his side, following him, listening to him teach, asking him questions and getting answers. Imagine that kind of relationship with Jesus. What that would be like. How would it change our lives? And don't we wish that we could have that kind of relationship with him? That close. But did you know, or did you realize that just before Jesus was crucified, as he's talking with his apostles, he actually tells them that it's for their good that he's leaving, that he's going to go back to heaven. Let's look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16, starting verse 5. Jesus speaking to his apostles. He says, "Now I'm going to him who sent me, but yet none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things, you are filled with grief." So he's told his apostles, I'm leaving now. It's time for me to go back to where I came from. And he says, and you can see, and what the apostles' obvious response to that would be, as he says here, grief, right? He says, what are they supposed to do now? Now they've had Jesus right there leading them for 3 years. What are they going to do now if Jesus is leaving them? Is he going to leave them all alone? It says, I will not leave them alone. Verse 7. "But I tell you the truth, it's for your own good. It's for your good that I'm going away. Because unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus says, I'm telling you the truth, it's actually for your good. Even though it brings you grief right now, and you think, you know, how much you'll miss being with me, and how much we'll miss having you here. He says, it's for your good, because unless I go, then the Comforter won't come. And he's told him already who this Comforter is, the Holy Spirit. And he says, unless I go, the Comforter won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And he told him earlier, too, he says, and you already know this Holy Spirit, because he's been with you up until now. Back in chapter 14, he says this. He's been with you, but he will be in you. He will come inside of you and make his home inside of you. And he says that's going to be an even better relationship than what we have right here with me by your side. He says it's actually for your good, and it'll be a better situation. And he goes on to talk about how the Spirit who will be in them will guide them in all truth. It'll give them peace. It'll give them joy. It'll be there with them, inside of them. How does that affect our life? Do we live like we have that kind of connection with God, that kind of intimate relationship with God, that we actually have the Holy Spirit of God within us? Because that's what the promise was to us also. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, "Don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, who lives in you, which you've received from God?" We have the same Holy Spirit living within us. He's inside us. He's made our home, his home inside of us. He guides us. He comforts us. But do we live, is our life with Christ live in a way that shows that kind of, that has that kind of intimacy, that kind of relationship with God? I think a lot of times, the life that I know I live goes a little more like this. It's more like a repeating cycle of here, I'm trying to do good. I try hard, do really good. Oops, I blew it again. I messed up. Kind of crawl back to God, say, God, I'm so sorry. I've blown it again. I'm going to try to do better. So it starts over. Try. Work hard. Try to do the best I can. Blow it again. Mess it up. Can anybody else relate with this? That kind of, it's the kind of life. It's not secure. It's not. It lacks confidence in God and in the and trusting it, that He is there with you at all times. I think Paul describes this kind of situation in Romans chapter 7. He describes this battle that goes on inside of him where he says, on one hand, I want so badly to do what God wants me to do. I want to live the kind of life that God wants me to live. But then on the other hand, there's sin and there's temptation. These things, these evil desires that are inside of me, and these things are at war, and they're fighting within me all the time. And he says, it's back and forth, this endless battle. And finally he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Have you ever felt like that? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I want so badly to live for God. But yeah, I keep messing up. I keep blowing it. Who will deliver me from this body of death? But it doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, but thanks be to God in Jesus Christ. Because now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation anymore for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit of life through Jesus Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. And he goes on and talks about the amazing things that the Spirit does when he comes into our life. The way he sets us free. The way he intercedes for us between us and God. The way his Spirit is what actually gives life to our bodies. His Spirit is now within us and gives us life, and it gives us confidence and security in our relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God. He says at the end of there, verse in Romans chapter 8, you've not received a spirit of fear to fall back into slavery. You received a spirit of adoption as children of God. And by that Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit himself testifies along with our spirit that we are children of God. It's not this spirit that we received, a spirit of fear and saying, oh, I'm afraid I've messed up and I'm not in a good standing anymore with God. It's a spirit of adoption that makes us children of God. And it says that we can cry out, Abba, Father, the most intimate term for Father that there was in that language. It says that's the kind of intimate relationship that we now enjoy with God as our Father. He's not going to cast us away. Just imagine the relationship you have with your own children. Are you going to cast them away if they mess up and make a mistake? Certainly not. Of course, it hurts you. You're not going to throw them out. That's the same thing. It's the way God feels about us as his children. That love, the same kind of love that we have for our children, even more so. And his Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us, testifies along with our spirit that we are children of God. So, it's no longer this all about this battle inside of me. Now I have the Spirit of God inside of me that testifies that I'm a child of God. I think the book of Galatians also speaks a lot about this. I think actually much of the book of Galatians is about the fact that Paul went there to Galatia And he preached them the gospel, the good news of Christ. They believed it and became followers of Christ. Then Paul left. Afterwards, another group came in and says, no, in order to be a good follower of Christ, you still need to keep the law. There's still, this law that we had from the Old Testament, it's still important that we keep all these rules. And it's necessary if you want to be a good follower of Christ. Paul writes back, and now he's writing in Galatians. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Because it is before your very eyes that Jesus Christ was portrayed as crucified. He says, I want to know this one thing. I want to ask you this one thing. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by observing the law? Or did you receive it by having faith in the gospel that you heard? He goes on to say, it used to be. We used to be under this law. We used to be slaves under this law. And it was all about keeping the rules and trying to do good and trying to follow all the rules in order to maintain this relationship with God. But it's not that way anymore. It's not that way anymore. In chapter 4, he says, when the right time came, God sent his son, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive full rights as children of God, to redeem us from being under the law. So now, we're not under that law. Now we have full rights as children of God. And he says, and now because you are children of God, he sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. And by that Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. And he says, and since now you are no longer a slave, but a child of God. The thing I think this says, and the main point of what I want to say this morning, if you hear nothing else, please hear this. God does not want slaves who do their best to keep all the rules. God wants children, sons and daughters with whom he can have an intimate relationship. God does not want slaves who are doing their best, everything they can, to keep every rule. God wants children, sons and daughters with whom he can have an intimate relationship, who can call him Abba, Father. As we're talking about this intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit, you might be thinking to yourself, yes, that's exactly the intimacy that I enjoy with God. And I have the Holy Spirit living within me, who draws me closer to God, who allows me to have this kind of intimacy with God. And if that is where you are, amen. I encourage you, keep living that life in the Spirit. Keep going deeper in your intimacy with God, in this relationship. But other of us might think, I'm not experiencing that kind of intimacy with God. I want it. I want so badly to be close and intimate with God. But I'm just not experiencing that. I am certainly not claiming to have all the answers about how to live a Spirit-filled life that's intimate with God. But I'd like to suggest two reasons why we might not experience the intimacy with God that we want in the Holy Spirit. So two reasons. First, maybe our lives are too comfortable. Maybe our lives are too comfortable. You hear the saying a lot. We're thankful to live in one of the most blessed countries on the earth. And we are thankful for that, aren't we? We're very thankful for that. We're very thankful for the modern conveniences that we enjoy that so many people in the world don't have access to, for all the just comforts and luxuries that God has given us and things that we enjoy in life. And we're very thankful for those things. But could it be that we've become too comfortable? I think sometimes it's when we're uncomfortable are times when God can really connect with us. We can really become intimate with God. Jesus tells a group he was speaking to in Luke chapter 12. He says, they're going to bring you, they're going to take you before synagogues and rulers and authorities, and they're going to demand an answer from you about this faith you're teaching. He says, don't worry at that time what you'll say or how you'll defend yourself, because in that moment, the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. Luke chapter 12. He says, when you're following me, and it brings you into a situation that's uncomfortable, that would be uncomfortable, wouldn't it? To be standing, be brought before a court or something, and they demand answers from you, that'd be an uncomfortable situation. And I think as followers of Christ, we're going to be called in to uncomfortable situations. I think that's pretty much guaranteed. Jesus says, don't worry about it. Because in that moment, the Holy Spirit will help you know what to do. Will help you know what to say. That passage we read from a minute ago in John chapter 16, that whole context, John chapters 14 through 16. A number of times, the Holy Spirit is referred to over and over again as the Comforter. The Comforter. What need do we have for a Comforter if we're already very comfortable? Doesn't kind of imply we're going to be uncomfortable and need a Comforter. Need some help. Also a helper. In 2007, there was a group of 23 missionaries from Korea who went into Afghanistan. So they went from Korea, and they went to preach in Afghanistan, which, of course, is a very Muslim country. It's very dangerous to go preach there. But that's what they did, and they got caught by the Taliban. You know, they're kind of the rogue extreme Islamic government. And so they were arrested, and they were held. They were held prisoner for 40 days. And so can you imagine being a Christian missionary in a Taliban prison? Do you know what the penalty is for people who convert Muslims to any other faith? According to the Quran, the penalty for that is death. And they realize death is a very real possibility here. It's very likely, very possible, that they were going to die in this prison. And they accepted it. They prayed to God that His will be done no matter what. One of them was able somehow to sneak in a very small Bible. And they ended up ripping it into 23 pieces so that each one could have a little section of scripture to look at and try to hide while no one was watching them. And so they just entrusted themselves, their lives to God and said, God, you know, we came here to preach your word. If this is what happens, let it be. Well, after 40 days, well, there were, during that time, two of them were executed. But after 40 days, the South Korean government worked out, negotiated, and worked it out their freedom with the Taliban and got the others free. The other 21 were freed and returned back to South Korea. One of those guys, he says that when members of that group get back together at times, amazingly, one of the questions they ask each other is, don't you wish we were back there in the prison? Don't you wish we could all be back in the prison? And the reason is because they had found there an intimacy with God that they had not been able to recapture when they returned back to their normal, comfortable lives. When they were in that situation, they became that much closer to God, and they miss it now. And say, so, and in a way, wish they could experience that again. You know, only you, only I, know the comforts that we have in our life, the things that we rely on to keep us comfortable, our comfort zone, things where we're really not willing to step out of. And we also, each of us knows ways in which God is calling us to step out of our comfort zone. Like I said before, I think it's pretty much guaranteed if you're a follower of Christ, you're going to be called out of your comfort zone. I think on a regular basis, God's going to call you out. This way you stretch and grow. Will we do it? Will we follow that leading of the Spirit? What he's calling us to do is to step out of our comfort zone. Trust him that he'll take care of us and do whatever it is that makes us uncomfortable. Or do we even hear? Do you hear that voice calling? Do you hear that what the Spirit is asking you to do that might call you out of your comfort zone? If not, that leads to the second reason we might not enjoy the intimacy with God that we'd like to, is maybe our lives are too loud. Maybe our lives are too loud. Maybe we have just too much going on that we can't even hear the guidance of the Spirit in our hearts. That's a problem for us these days, isn't it? I mean, we are so busy. There's so much stuff that we're constantly bombarded with. We have, you know, cell phones that are constantly ringing, buzzing with text messages or email, and, you know, Facebook, and we just pull. Our schedules are crazy. We're pulling so many different directions all at the same time. Maybe our lives are too loud. Maybe we're too busy to hear what the Holy Spirit is calling for us to do. You know, Jesus, he might not have had to deal with a cell phone or some of the things that our modern conveniences that distract us so often. But I think Jesus did understand the difficulty in trying to get some time alone. Right? Here's a man who constantly had huge crowds surrounding him and asking him, wanting things from, something from him. There's one incident in Mark chapter 1 that talks about how one night, here's Jesus and trying to get some rest, and he goes into this house, but the whole town follows him there. And it says, that night, after evening, the whole town came to the door of the house where he was, and they brought all the sick people from the whole town asking him to heal. And he did. It sounds like he stayed up very late that night, healing and working with that whole crowd that had come to the house where he was trying to get away. So he stayed up late that night doing that. But then it says in the next verse, but very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Christ got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he could pray. That's hard, isn't it? When we live busy, crazy lives, it's hard a lot of times to set aside that kind of time. But Jesus saw how crucial it was to have quiet time alone with God, to commune and grow with God. I think, obviously, the same applies for us. It takes determined effort to do that. I think Chris actually talked about that in his lesson. Because of our modern conveniences, I was able to actually hear Chris's lesson, so appreciate that. And Chris talked about it. It takes determined effort to set aside that time to commune with God. It's also, it can be a little awkward, can it? Silence. We think about silence, and it can kind of be a little uncomfortable. Just to kind of go to a quiet place by yourself and try to spend that time communing with God, because we're so used to, you know what? Even right now my phone is buzzing. We're so used to this, the phone ringing or something happening. And so when we get off to a quiet place, it's like, start fidgeting. It's like, you know, I got to be doing something. You know, I got to fill this time with something. Even here, in this time, when we're, this time is set apart each week, you know, for coming together to worship with God, to worship God, it can be awkward, isn't it? If there's a pause, there's silence, you know, if someone takes a little too long to get up to the microphone, it can be a little awkward. I'd like for us to take just a moment of silence, just to think about, you know, the fact that the Holy Spirit Himself is within us. Try to commune with Him and with God in this moment. Just take a moment. How does that feel? How does the silence feel to you? Are you able to kind of put everything else out and really commune with God? Or do we kind of get anxious and think something, you know, we need something to break this silence or fill it? I'd like to challenge us to kind of learn the discipline, I guess, of being silent before God. God says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. So we have a God who wants badly to be our Father, to have that kind of intimate relationship with us. And He gave His Son as a sacrifice to make that possible. He wants it that badly. And He also puts His Spirit into our hearts to draw us closer to Him. But are we too comfortable, or are our lives too loud to really listen to the guidance that Spirit within us is giving? Or are we willing to step out of our comfort zones and trust that God, that His Spirit will take care of us no matter what He's calling us to do? And willing to take that time out of our busy schedule to set aside to really, really commune with God. Because like I said earlier, and we've had some great lessons from the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And I think there again, one thing we learn from that story is God does not want slaves who are trying to do their best to keep all the rules, right? That's what the son had in mind when he went back. I'll try to be my dad's servant. God wants children. He wants sons and daughters who will share with Him in a very intimate relationship. So the question I want to leave with you today and ask is, how are you living your life? Are you trying to be a good slave to God, to keep all the rules exactly right? Or are you enjoying a relationship with God that's intimate as His son or as His daughter? If there's any way that we can help in your journey, that's what we're here for as a church. That's what we're here for. And so we invite you to come. We all want to walk this journey together in an intimate relationship with God. Won't you come now? Together we stand as we sing.